podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
One match, only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U.
Thank you, man. Nice in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
Description. Done. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mogot. It won't be a typical one today. We're mixing up the content, but before we get into that, let me introduce the guest, Stevie. Long time, bro. Long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You know, I've actually been booked and busy. So yeah,
I said
man.
Booked and busy. Swear down.
Decided to show my face again. It's actually been a while. So yeah, man, I'm back.
Love to see it, loves it. And of course, the new regular alongside me, Rodney.
How you doing, bro? Come on, yeah. Carrying things on my back when man's not available. You get a certain man of doing whatever bookings they think they're doing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, what bookings are you doing, bro?
That's what I'm saying.
This is a little football podcast, isn't it? So let's keep on.
Anyway, before we get into it, as usual, we do the usual housekeeping, the Discord, that community's popping, got courtside, ringside, Coppen, Morgot, obviously, Touchy Gooners, Jesse Hour, the Spurs boys. So obviously, we've got everything popping on there. Make sure to join it. It pops all the time, especially when we've got the live games. We've got the YouTube. Make sure to check out the content on the YouTube from all the club channels. And Stevie, this week you were on Fanslide. What are you saying? Because yeah
man, you know, I've been slapping up the Euros, some fantasy games, but yeah, no, I've been playing Fanslide actually. No, I think it's been quite dope actually, because obviously, you know, it's free to join, you know, some of these other things you've got to pay. So yeah man, just a bit of fun. I was trying to get Rodney on it, but he seems like he's being a bit lazy, so I'm trying to convince him on this pod to join. There's a bit of prize money, and you know, if he joins as well and then he wins a game, it means I get his prize money as well, and he also gets prize money as well. So I'm trying to get him to sign on like a little refer a friend thing.
Prize money, yeah. What are we talking about?
If you win, we all win, innit? So line it up, and when it gets to the knockout phases as well, there's a little shirt competition. I need a couple international tees. Rodney, your shirt's looking a bit tacky, so you might need one as well. So.
What's going on here, bro? What? You didn't even let me know what's going on.
Right, cool. Yeah, so I'm trying to get you to join, isn't it? You know, I'll send the link after the pod, man.
Of course, and the grand prize for being top at the end of the Euros is 10,000. So make sure you get onto that Fanslide.
Do with that.
10K,
yeah. Yeah, partner sponsor. We love them. So make sure you get on.
Led with that, man.
Of course,
it's not all about the money, man.
Sometimes it's about building the community, bro. Cultivate the community. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. That's not a winner's mentality, though, Elijah.
Fam. Hey, man. I'm all about the positivity.
I heard 10K, so yeah, I'm involved.
Make sure you add Tapman as a friend, though.
Yeah.
Let me get on it.
So, before we get into the main part of the pod, just a quick recap. So off the top of my head, the Sancho thing rambles on for another week. Apparently, we've put in an improved offer that total that is at least 75 million, and that's the most detail I've seen.
Can we have on this podcast like a Fabrizio section? I need somewhere where we can actually talk about this guy and the reports like he filters through every day. It's nonsense. This guy doesn't say anything at all, and he's made a living off it.
It's an art.
Bro, Joe, the worst thing is he used to be so good because he used to not say anything until it was confirmed.
Yeah, now he's bought into his hype.
Yeah.
He's got a tweet now. He's a dickhead. The other day he put up one tweet and it was absolutely they've agreed new personal terms for the I don't even remember what it was, but it was absolute nonsense. Yeah. He said
he's the master of saying nothing.
Yeah.
And getting retweets.
I understand why the other journals are on him. Yeah.
Now the reason the other journals are on him is because apparently he takes a story and then he confirms it basically. So basically, apparently stealing their story. But what he's actually doing is just that people know him to be reliable. So if he confirms it, people are like, that's confirmed.
He's the football equivalent of dribbling past the whole team, like smashing it in, and then just when it's on the line, someone toe pokes it in. That steals all the credit.
There's another guy that does that, the German guy as well, that puts the tick and true. He's that as well. Confirmed or denied.
Christian.
My man. They hate him as well.
Because he does the same thing as Romano, where he confirms it.
I'm not mad if any of them want to come onto our pod, though.
Of course, we love them.
We love them.
After all that slander.
No slander from me, bro.
Yeah, it's just content, man. Sorry.
the Sancho thing rambles on. I'm not gonna go into any more detail about that.
I'm confused.
Trippier.
I want to talk about the Sancho thing quickly. I'm confused because
I've
been reading that they want 77 million, which is like 90 million euros plus add-ons, and we've given 75. Plus add-ons. So what, are we only 2 million out, or am I not understanding what's happening?
I mean, no one knows the whole package of the deal or the structure of it. So I think that's what Dortmund are really concerned about. So like United want to over 5 years, which is pretty fine. And then Dortmund say it should be 3 or 4. But with most transfer deals, what they do is that they front load the payment in like the first bit. So like the first 2 years, like most of the payment, and then it's smaller the longer it goes on. But United's,
I was gonna say, I want to know if have Inter paid us our Lukaku money yet?
No. I don't think so. They're not gonna pay
us, fam. Yeah, they've taken that. They robbed the connect.
That's why they're trying to sell Hakimi, because they need the money to.
They
so that's why
give money to us and we'll write off some of the debt. It makes sense,
bro. The thing is, we're not gonna look at Hakimi because he's gonna want to come in and start, and it's expensive, and to be honest, United probably want that 46 million in the bank, because especially with COVID, they'll much prefer the money than just them writing it off and then getting in another player. But that's the situation with Sancho. Trippier, it seems like we were lied to for weeks that apparently 15 million was going to be enough, because Atletico are saying 40 million euros or you're not getting them, which is his release clause.
So apparently
that's the end of that. Dalot, apparently we have rejected the offer from Milan because the loan didn't have an obligation to buy. It was an option to buy. So it seems like the report said that Solskjaer likes Dadalo, but he wouldn't be remiss to selling him to get in money for.
I agree with that because they're taking a piss now. Because you've had him on loan 1 year, so now if you want him on loan again, you've got to have an obligation. You can't just try before you buy for the rest of your life. Come on, now, they're taking the piss. If you're gonna take him on loan, there has to be an obligation as well. Just give him back to us. We'll use him or we'll sell him. Come on, they're taking the piss, bro.
And the thing is that he has 2 years left. So if you do give him on a loan with an option to buy, he comes back and say they don't buy him. Yeah, he has a year left.
Yeah,
and then we have a shot. Yeah. So I can understand that. Tuan Zebe apparently has asked to go on loan. So he's apparently going to go on loan to a lower Premier League club. So apparently that might hasten our search with a centre back.
I feel sorry for that man.
Same.
Yeah. I think he can be good enough with a run of games, but he's just not going to get those run of games. It's a lot to ask someone of his sort of experience where he's not played much football to come in and perform one game out of six. So like it's just crazy. I feel sorry for him in the sense that if he starts more, I think he could probably partnership Maguire and it'd actually be a good partnership. But because he's not starting, Ollie likes Lindelof, he's going to get one game in five and it's just not enough for a young player. I don't know how old he is. What is he, 20 something? 22, 23?
23. I think it's about to turn 24.
Yeah, he needs to be playing consistently. I think when we see him go to another club, we'll see how good he really is. I think he can be a good player.
Yeah, he's turning 24 in November. Yeah, and Williams is subject to a lot of interest of a loan from Southampton, Reading and Leeds, I believe. I think I got that right. But he looks like he's going to go out on loan as well. So if William goes out on loan, Dalo goes out on loan, all is sold, and then Tuan Zebe goes out on loan, that is literally all our right back options gone.
But Laird is probably
he's probably going to go out on loan as well because I don't expect him. He wasn't injured when he came back from MK Dons, so he done well there. I think the idea is get him to a Championship or Premier League loan this season and see how he does. Apparently that's the reason why they want Trippier rather than getting in a proper right back because he's older and it gives time for Lea to come through. But outside of that, I can't remember much. I mean,
Torres guy.
Yeah, I was about to say Paul Torres. Apparently we've made some progress with that.
Talk to me about him because I don't know much about him. But when I watched him, he's in the Euros like a little bit of him. He doesn't look great.
Him and Elijah and Mariah hate him.
He looks like Lindelof. He generally plays like Lindelof.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I get that impression. He's
not impressive. He's really good on the ball. He's really, really, really good on the ball. Like he's a proper ball playing centre back, not like Lindelof and Maguire. He's a proper ball playing centre back.
I think United are overcomplicating things. Just get someone like in the profile of Bailly, who can stay fit the whole season. Why are you overcomplicating it?
Apparently, their first choice for a long-term part for Maguire is someone who is left-footed, which is weird, given that Maguire, since 2000 and what? When did he go to Leicester? 2017? He's played as a left centre-back.
Yeah.
So he's played as a left centre-back for five seasons and for England this whole time. Yeah. He was a right centre-back at Hull.
Mm.
But it's strange that we've decided we need a left... And to get a left centre-back who is not really athletic, who looks poor in the air, it seems strange. Surely you would get someone who could protect him, and then you have Wan-Bissaka on that side, and you have pace around him and in front of him. But
I don't understand. Like, if you're gonna do a partnership, then you need to obviously get someone who has the attributes he doesn't and complements each other. So you're gonna need someone who's athletic, someone who's quick, and just I don't watching Torres and those little snakes doesn't look like that for me. But
I mean, you've got to remember he's playing in the Emery team as well, where very defensively structured. He's not going to get that at United. It's in a slower league. Stevie came out with that stat in the group chat earlier today that made me sick. But
what's that?
No, I'm just sharing what I saw.
What
did you see?
So in 1920, he was the fast. He clocked the fastest speed for a centre back in La Liga. So
I
apparently,
imagine that being hard.
I mean, it was. It's not impressive. I mean, Marcus Llorente broke the speed record this season.
Oh, that's crazy. And
if he's fast,
what is this speed record? Like, surely, I don't get it. Like, I get acceleration matters, but like, where are they clocking these speeds?
So basically, it discounts acceleration. So it's just you at your fastest speed. It doesn't matter how quickly you get there. Yeah. If you clock a really fast speed, they'll say you broke the speed record. So like, even last season, Soyuncu was sixth, Greenwood was third. I think Walker was first, and then Adama was second. But Greenwood being third, he's not the quickest.
Yeah, player. I think those stats are just useless anyway.
He doesn't look like my cup of tea. I've seen him at Villarreal. I saw him versus Arsenal. I watched him versus us. I've seen him for Spain. I'm not impressed.
I didn't even know he played for Villarreal, to be honest. It says it all, because I watched both of those games. I watched both those games against Arsenal, and I watched the final. So,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, if I was watching those games, I was more impressed with Albiol than I was with Torres. And Albiol's like 34. So, yeah, I mean,
United are acting up, man. But it's United, isn't it?
And another week without a DM link. So
it's just this ridiculous, man.
What's happening with Pereira? Is anyone going to buy him?
I think he's going to go out on loan again.
He's got no choice. He's not going to play in our team.
$5 million for him now.
We should just terminate his contract. We gave him a new one, didn't we?
Yeah, we gave him a new one in like 2019, I think.
That's stupid. How long did he get? Another 3 years?
I think he got four years. That's
oh my gosh.
Four years.
How silly that is. Do you know how silly that is? Because what are you saying? He's going to break into the team eventually then if you've given him 4 years. He's not.
He's not even an asset to protect like that.
So
there's no money in him.
He got 4 years with an option to extend for a further year.
Oh, don't kill me. Stop it, man. What is the option to extend? Like, why do you need to put that in every single player's contract? Yeah. Like, come on.
It's
like,
a default.
What is this? These men are told. I don't understand 4 years. I could understand maybe 2-3 years, but like 4 years. So what is the plan with him? Are you saying he's going to have a couple successful loan spells, then we're going to get money for him, or he's saying he's going to come into the team? What is the 4 years for? I don't get it, honestly.
The thing is that he was given that in 2019 before the season started. So they didn't expect him to be the absolute stinking player that he showed in those first 6 months.
What did they expect? Bro,
I can't even lie, because I was even looking at it today. This guy, before Bruno came in, this guy started 18 out of the 26 games we played. He started 11 games in a row. There was a time where he was starting 11 games in a row.
That was the time I had stocks in him, actually.
I only had stocks in him before I'd seen him play.
Do you know what?
Now, I think there was a preseason he was doing all right, and I just said, let me buy some stocks quickly while it's low, and then it just dipped, and then...
He could be a United player, though, because he speaks their languages. Other than that, he's...
Bro, that guy is so bad. But it's looking like he's... Yeah, so he's going to come back from Lazio. Apparently, they want him back for another one. I mean, we put in an option to sign for 27 million, which is never going to happen. but yeah. And also, Lingard came out with some quotes today saying he asked for game time before last season, And then Ollie said, come back to me in December, we'll discuss it.
You said that?
That's what Lingard said. Ollie said to him.
Lingard. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we're so going to fall for that trap again.
So he didn't get any game time, went in December, and he said he was really happy and stuff like that, and that was he's going to come back for pre-season and see what's going on.
He should go. He should actually go while his stocks are high. Bust out. Because if you come back for another season, you ain't playing. Just go while you're on a high. I know obviously United is his childhood club. He's been there for years. But brother, you had a good start at West Ham. You ain't coming to United to replicate that. You're not even going to get the game time. Go while you got teams interested in you. This is the most that team has been circling about. Go, so bro.
I mean, he has a year left, I believe.
Yeah, he needs to go now, to be honest with you. Wow, he got a good choice. He's got a good group of clubs that are apparently interested in him. Go now, bro. Play your football, man.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play at United.
Yeah. But I think United are really trying to cut down on the squad space. I think the matches links to Roma have gone cold since they've been interested in Xhaka. Mata, I mean, apparently we've offered him a deal which extends into him being an ambassador and potentially taking up a technical director role.
Why not just do that now?
He's not going to play next. Just like force him into retirement now.
No, but the thing is, he might want to play and then he might want to go to another club. So that's the thing.
He should go now to another club and go somewhere in Spain, have a little fun, and then come back. Because again, another player who's not going to see much. I don't think he even cares if he sees many games at this point. He's probably on a comfortable wage and he just doesn't give a shit. He's just going to write his blogs and come on if he gets 7 minutes to do his little crosses. He don't care. I think for him it's a win-win, isn't it? But for us it's like, why is it another year? Like, it doesn't make any sense. All of these like players are also the same like type of profile of it. Lingard, Mata, Pereira, like they're all gonna come into the squad and they're all gonna wanna play relatively in the same position. So what's the point? Pick one and let the rest go then.
And
especially if you're trying to cut down squad space.
And honestly, if they all go, that just means more. That means it means Solskjaer has less choice not to play Van de Beek and Ahmad and Greenwood and players like that. So it's just good.
Honestly.
But I think that was all for the week. We're getting into the main part of the pod now, which was a classic match, and we decided we've done enough games where we've won. Let's watch a game where we've lost, because you know that's how United have been making us feel for the last 8 years. So you know, let's go back in time and see a time where a loss was a big deal. So we decided to choose the 1-0 defeat to Arsenal at home. Context: this was the fourth game of the season. Arsenal had not won a game yet. United had not lost a game yet. This was Rooney and Scholes' first game where they were eligible to play in the Premier League that season, because they got a three-match ban from the Amsterdam tournament because of red cards.
I remember that.
Which is, I never saw it happen before. I've not seen it happen since, where you get sent off in a pre-season friendly and you get suspended in the Premier League. But hey-ho.
That's when we were serious enough that they needed to do everything they could to stop us.
Bro. Our only signing that summer was Carrick. This was after the whole World Cup debacle with Rooney and
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo had asked to leave that summer. He said he wanted to go to Barcelona or Real Madrid. He blamed Gil and Ferguson for not protecting him and stuff like that. But they sorted it out when they all got back.
Were Barca and Real actually on the cards for him then?
Yeah. No, but he genuinely said in there, I want to leave. I don't care if it's Barcelona or Real Madrid. I want to go to Spain.
I don't think Barca was really front runners.
They weren't really front runners, but that's what Ronaldo put in the press. Those are always his old words. Yeah. That Barcelona or Real Madrid, like, he didn't care, he just wanted to leave. Because of all the thing about,
I can't believe fans do this. Like, revisionism with him. He's such a pussy, man. He's such a pussy. He put through so much stress for, I'm probably like 3 summers straight, bro. I was so glad to see him do his little kick-ups in Bernabeu, because honestly, it went on for so long.
So the season before, I think, was it, so when did he leave? 9-10?
Yeah, so he left in summer 2009, and he asked to leave.
The season before he left, he was moving like a petulant little bitch on the football.
He was a mug. He was a mug. He was actually a mug.
He was taking the actual piss. And I think all United fans forget that season. He was so...
I think time and the fact was shit made them forget how fucking stupid this guy acted every summer. And then what they level against Pogba is actually what Ronaldo did for 3 summers straight. It's absolutely insane. Then his last season, he just stopped playing. Like, it's just... If they actually look back on it and remember what happened, they'll realize this guy's a dickhead.
Bro, like, that's the reason why I have a love-hate relationship with him, because every single summer, like, fam, this guy won the PFA Player of the World and he said, I still dream of Real Madrid. What's your problem, bro? What's your problem?
He was doing us dirty, man.
I remember I was working at Spurs at the time, and I remember United came to play Spurs, and I was like, I'm gonna get to see Ronaldo play. He was trash, just stood about the pitch, like he didn't even move. And I was like if you don't want to be this badly, like Fergie, you need to drop him. Like, I feel like that season he mugged off Fergie in a way that Fergie ain't been mugged off.
That was Fergie's fault though, because Fergie asked him to do another year. You should have just let him go, because you got the same money that you would have got. So,
because I think his contract was about to run down, so Real Madrid were taking the piss with bids, and then Ronaldo signed another contract to make sure we got as much as we could. Especially back then, the Glazers, the debt was proper ruining us back then, so we needed that money as well.
Yeah.
So that's why we couldn't sell.
They needed money.
Because
what we saw the following year, investment-wise.
We did
Jesus Christ, bro.
What did we get? I think we got like Obertan and
Obertan Valencia.
You know what? Yeah, we was doing think pieces of where the money was gonna go, and then the 3-4 players that we saw.
we got Valencia.
I promise you, I think Real Madrid just paid them man straight into their accounts.
So it was mad because the financial reports came out and it said United break even. So without the Ronaldo money, we would have made an 80 million loss.
Yeah, crazy.
Insane, man.
Jenny need that money. But going back to the game, so the context was that we started well after a summer of difficulty. We came off coming second to Chelsea the season before. We won the League Cup final, so we've come in season with a bit of, you know,
momentum.
What the hell's going to happen? And then we start season really well. And then Stevie, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, you know what? That's the first game I've ever watched back, like a 90-minute thing, like a proper history thing. Obviously, because Mariah bullied me into it, and. You know what? Yeah, I was astounded, like, because I saw our lineup and I thought, right, this team is a bit shaky. But I was astounded at like the intent we had in that match. I feel like Arsenal still had more control of the ball in midfield, but our willingness to sort of get forward, our play was so much more direct than it is now, and our players were just far, far better. Even though in terms of names, you wouldn't clock it, but they were just far, far better than what we have now. But I thought it was a really entertaining match, to be honest. I'm sure we'll get into it deeper. O'Shea was getting spun in that midfield. I think the midfield two that Fergie decided to play.
Scholes, for what O'Shea was doing, Scholes done pretty well to be basically playing in midfield by himself. Having Fabregas, Gilberto, and Rzyzewski buzz around, even though I don't rate Rzyzewski, but he's like a busybody anyway. But having that buzz around and the fact that there were times where he was actually imposing himself on the game shows the quality that Scholes had. But just to go through the lineup, we had Kushak in goal because that was actually his debut. because Van der Sar had a stomach bug. Right back was Gary Neville.
Centre back ten times as well, isn't it?
Do you know what? That was his proper last season because he got injured at the end of the season.
I'm sure, like, I've listened to a few interviews. That was the season where he said he knew from early on and she shouldn't even.
No.
I think that was the Liverpool game, innit? He got spun up.
That was West Brom away 2011. Okay. West Brom.
Was that
Gary Neville lasted until 2011.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was a season that Fergie offered him a new contract and he was like, what? I remember him saying in an interview he was confused as to how he got a new contract and he lasted till 2011.
I think it might have been in 2009 because he was injured for basically from the end of the season of this game until like 2009. He was just getting injured all the time. Yeah. All the time. Like this guy used to play week in, week out all the time. I used to remember him.
No injuries.
Always playing. Then that game against Bolton where we spazzed on them with that counter attack, that's where he got injured. And then he was just off it. But yeah, Gary Neville, Brown at centre back, Vidic was on the bench. This was his like first proper season. Like he came the January of that year, so he wasn't fully established yet. Rio was there. Sylvester started over Ever as well. Same reason as Vidic. Right midfield was
clowns, isn't
it? Yeah,
when they first came, they were dumb and dumber.
They were clowns. And then they came, they were clowns for 6 months. Clowns.
Honestly, and it's mad. Like when I was watching the game, yeah, like you could see Ever had you could see he had potential going forward, yeah. Even Martin Tyler was mugging him off. He was like, oh, apparently he's been getting defending lessons. He was putting in so little effort defensively. I was stunned. I was like, how is he getting away with this?
Bro, like, I don't really understand. There's a reason why Heinze lasted so long at left back. It's because this Everett guy was not trying to defend, bro. He wasn't trying to defend.
I look on his career back at United, like, I think I may have overrated him slightly because I don't think he was that good of a defender. Even in the latter years, when we was defending, you never even saw him in the screenshots. You never saw him on the TV. He was probably the halfway line. But I look back at his career, like, this guy was sick. And I think maybe, like...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It wasn't
His peak was really good. His peak was really good. But I've decided that peak. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, I feel like 08 to 12, he was elite. He wasn't as amazing going forward as I think some people make out to be. Well, nah. Certainly his end goal. But defensively, I think he was on it.
That's what I mean. When you look back on his career, actually, you think... Like, if you ask me just for a snap without looking at it, I think, yeah, this stuff's sick. But when I actually go deeper into seasons and stuff and remember what I can, man, apart from his peak, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, so horrible either side, man. Horrible.
But, so we had Fletcher right midfield. By the way, never compare this guy to McTominay again. The balls and crosses. The balls and crosses I saw Fletcher play today, I am like, oh, this guy left foot to Saha.
Oh my God. Who compares him to McTominay?
Everyone compares him to McTominay. Everyone
compares him. This is what I mean about United fans. If we now, like, just go back and watch seasons, like, every week we watch a game from a season, you'll see how different players are actually rated to how we think they are, because Darren Fletcher was cold, man. And the fact that he's been dwelled down to a work rate guy or a guy who was just shafted in to make others play good, it's not fair on him, man, because he had some good seasons.
Bro,
he had some good attributes, man.
Like the worst, like, I think that like the first 20 minutes, yeah, he kept playing a ball straight into in just yeah. outside the box, just a lofted ball, yeah. and he kept hitting it 10 out of 10. I'm thinking,
this guy
is cold. He is cold. Yeah. Fletcher was
he was a good two-way player, man.
Yeah, because when he came, I think he started off at right midfield, and he used to start ahead of Ronaldo there, innit? And then slowly he got changed into a centre midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, nah, like he was actually like fam. There was even times during the season where Fergie would drop Carrick to play Fletcher next to Scholes because like.
It just made more sense legs-wise. Yeah, I get it.
Fletcher would do the work. Plus, he had quality on the ball. People don't rate the quality on the ball. He was actually so good. Like this game was probably our best. It was probably our.
That's our so horrible. Best player. That's so horrible. And then because
bro, they compared him. It makes me sick.
He can go to our side now.
Yeah, we really missed him. In that, I mean, we were gonna get pammed anyway. But
we missed him in the 09 final, we actually did, but yeah. And then in midfield, we had O'Shea, Scholes, when we had Ronaldo on the left, and we had Rooney and Saha up front, so it was a mishmash team. You got to remember that was Rooney and Scholes' first game in the league as well. So it was a weird team that was missing quite a few players. And personally, I thought the performance compared to Arsenal, the performance wasn't good. But compared to the United I've seen for the last decade, there was just intent there. There was a plan. Like they knew we went to go direct. They knew we went to attack down the sides. Like even though Arsenal were the better team, they weren't peppering our goal. They just controlled they just controlled the game better. They were just better in possession, and that's where we missed Carrick. So that's what he missed. But the thing is, even when Carrick came on, that guy dropped a stinker. That guy was giving away the ball all the time, bro.
Like, well, I don't think he was great when he first came.
Yeah, but I mean, he came on with Solskjaer. So they replaced Rooney and Scholes. And Solskjaer, like, he had a chance where I'm thinking, rah, this guy was actually a legend, man. Because that snapshot he got off at the end where Lehman just saved it. Was a crazy shot, like. But it was just interesting to watch because you saw Ronaldo, like that was a season where it started to come into fruition, and he was so raw. He made so many bad decisions, It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was just.
Can you imagine now in our team,
bro? Yeah. Like, the goal that we conceded came from him losing the ball in the middle of the park to Cesc, like. He was just a turnover machine, bro. But to be fair, go on, Stevie.
I was going to say that lining up two midfielders against basically Arsenal's five, because even Arsenal's wide men, they weren't really wide men, like Lundberg and Leb. Lundberg and Rizicki, or was it Leb? They were both coming inside. So I think like you were starting to see like the formation of like inverted wingers. Fabregas. Gilberto.
Fabregas was amazing.
Yeah, Fabregas for that goal, for the Adebayor goal, his work. They showed the replay, and at full speed, I was like, bro, I can barely keep up with my eyes.
How old is he? Like 19, 20?
19. I went into this game thinking, I'm doing Sesquatch because he's playing it in the midfield against O'Shea and old man Scholes, who's just come off an injury. This is first game back. I'm going to be on him. That guy was crazy.
Yeah.
That game, they couldn't touch him, bro. He was glided across the pitch. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a midfielder at that age play so well for a whole season.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane, man.
Incredible. He was Arsenal captain at like what, 20?
Yeah. I think he became the captain the season after.
Right? Yeah, because I'm really left, isn't it? Yeah.
Insane, like that performance was insane. I mean,
yeah,
Ronaldo probably had our best chance where he smashed it in Lehman's face.
Yeah,
Saha done okay. His header from that Fletcher cross was almost so good, like, just went past the post.
Yeah, was,
Say again.
I found it interesting. Yeah, I think the thing that I saw the most was like there was still pressure. Yeah, but I switched over to like at halftime. I switched over to like the Netherlands. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the Macedonia game, and I was like, oh my god, the level of intensity of the press is so different to what it was back then. And you see like players getting like much more time and room to kind of do what they want. But yeah, we were levels. And I saw Ferdinand pick out a couple of long balls in that match. And I was like, you bloody Van Dijk lovers would roll over seeing this, man.
Yeah, but he was cold with his feet.
There was actually a couple of times where Ferdinand was looking shaky because I swear Arsenal dug a couple of balls over his head and he looked like he had no idea what was going on. I was thinking, brother, what are you doing? Like, it was just a simple long ball and I think he must have lost track of it and then Adebayor headed it down and then Rosicky just rushed a long shot that Kushak had to save. But nah, Ferdinand was good, but to be honest, that whole back line was just patchwork. I can't even lie. We had Kushak, Sylvester and Brown at centre back.
The whole team seems a bit patchworky.
Yeah. So it was an interesting game. So I got a few questions. Who do you think was the best player for us, Stevie?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a really hard question.
I don't know. I didn't see that coming. I would maybe Scholes I'd go for. Either Scholes. Him or Ronaldo. I didn't think Ronaldo had a great game, but if I was to pick someone most likely to score, I would have picked him.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think Scholes had a particularly great game either, but when he got on the ball, when he managed to get on the ball, I thought he was good with it. But I didn't think it was a performance with which like anyone can come out with any massive credit. It wasn't a terrible performance, but we just didn't shine.
It was like if we went into that and played a big game like that, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be mad because at least we showed intent. Like these days, we don't even do that. But I mean, personally, my best player was probably Fletcher. I feel like he'd done well on the right hand side, and then even when he came in the middle, he was the only one that was really doing well. I mean, Carrick came on and just kept misplacing the ball. O'Shea had a disaster class. Oh my god, disaster! I'm not even sure why he started over Carrick, to be honest. But
I don't know if that was. It probably was before because I know O'Shea had a couple good games against Arsenal, but I think that was before those had even happened. So yeah, probably just
I feel like he just wanted a bit more legs in there.
Yeah,
and then I mean, the worst moment for me was the goal. That goal was fucking terrible.
That goal
was terrible.
And he came out of nothing, man. Ronaldo.
Yeah. Poor. Ronaldo losing the ball. Yeah. I mean, Neville got spun. got spun by Cesc. He got flipping spun. And then the ball was great. And then Brown not to track.
Yeah.
The run from Adebayor.
I thought Brown or Kushak, like one of them should have got
Kushak. Kushak, the fact that the ball went underneath his hand was a bit was a bit mad. I mean, the goal was terrible. I was going to ask you to rate everyone out of 10, but I can't lie. It'll probably just be a load of sixes and fives. I can't lie. It will just be a load of sixes and fives. But that was a really good game. I think that's one of the games, even though we lost and we didn't play that well, that's the game I've enjoyed watching the most because, like, it was just good. Like the stadium was rocking as well because
the atmosphere was mental. I noticed they said it was Premier League attendance record. But yeah, like it was just like that's classic throwback TV. Like Andy Gray was in the peak of his powers.
Is one of the best commentators. Is the best commentator I've heard in my life.
Definitely, I miss him.
I was just wondering. Like, I don't know if it's because we've gone a year or over a year without like fans in the stadium properly, or whether crowds have just gone worse. But compared to what I'm hearing now, that atmosphere at Old Trafford, mad thing.
It's nothing. Crowds, over the years, it's just the world, man. The crowds have gone worse. The crowds because, are changing this more touristy, yeah. And then just the hardcore fans probably don't go as much
because it's as much.
If the atmosphere in Old Trafford is dead, if we're honest now, even when there was like fans like a year or so ago, the games that I went to, the atmosphere was dead. It's always nervy. It's always like, are we going to win? It's always, what performance are we going to see? No one ever looked assured of themselves. Like, there was moments where you get, there's like, you know, little moments, like a good tackle that the English love and then they get hyped. Other than that, there's not really much. There's a lot of tourists with their GoPros filming the game and all that shit. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just the dynamics of the fans have changed a lot. So.
Yeah. It's also a thing where before, it used to be a thing where if there was a lot of people between like 15 and 30 used to go to games, but now the games are so expensive, like they can't even do that anymore. And that was the hardcore fans that were supporting. Yeah. And so with the raising of the tickets and stuff like that, it's just made it so hard to go. And like, it's just long. And
if you want atmosphere, then away games is away game crowd.
Yeah, the away United fans, I think,
in the league.
I think Arsenal's probably the best away. But we're
sat with the United fans at Arsenal away. Yeah, that is crazy. The best thing, fam. It's insane. They sing and stand the whole game. It's none of that bullshit where you're saying sit down and stuff like that.
That's part of the thing at United though as well. Like they're trying to create like family atmosphere.
They got the family section. So and then
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like because. I remember, I think I was sitting in the Alex Ferguson stand, and they wouldn't even let me stand. This is bonkers. Like, what kind of?
It's difficult as well to get into the singing section of the crowd.
Yeah,
like there's a section where they sing. Like, it's difficult to get in there because those are season ticket holders.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
apart from that little crowd there, it's a pretty dull affair. But yeah, our away fans, probably only Arsenal match our away fans in the Premier League at the moment.
But the atmosphere was incredible for that game. And it was just good to watch. Like, it wasn't as restrictive as games are today. Like Steve, you said, the intensity is better. And like, it's probably better coordinated. But it was just good to see where just like ballers try out a ball.
That second half was end to end, and
it made no sense because it was 0-0, and both teams were trying to go and go to win the game.
So would you say games now are far more tactical, and obviously the ballers have less of a expression limit.
Yeah, definitely. Because even
it's horrible.
Even today, when Rooney and Scholes came off, like the fans were booing. Because they were like, why are you bringing off our two of our best players when we're trying to win this game? Like, the crowd were booing. Like, why are you doing that? And even that we switched to a 4-3-3, they weren't happy with that as well. So,
their wingers, 4-4-2.
Yeah. No, they said they wanted two up front, they wanted a 4-4-2. They want us to keep attacking. But it's even weird because even though Arsenal went from a 4-3-3 to a 4-4-2, and we went from a 4-4-2 to a 4-3-3-3. They never lost control of the game. It was weird. Like, it was just weird. Like,
I think that was always Arsenal against us, though. They just have better technicians. So I think we went into a lot of those pitch just crying to, just trying to counter-attack. But it was, I just found it like, it just seemed like the game was just like less tactical, but it was more fun. It was a more fun spectacle for it. And people
Pep's fault. Yeah. He's ruined ball, man.
It was Mourinho and
Mourinho. Yeah.
Mourinho and Benitez, them two, they proper made it. Like when Chelsea used to face Liverpool, nasty games. They were nasty games to watch.
Horrible.
Yeah. I remember that period around like 2009 when Mourinho's Inter won the Champions League. Yeah. Those Champions League seasons, the quarters, semi-finals, finals, awful games of football. No one wanted to concede.
Awful. Yeah, Inter's games. Their whole run. I think I watched the other day, their whole run to the Champions League won an awful run.
Yeah.
Like, I did not enjoy that at all.
I think the only one where they actually went proper attacking was versus Barcelona in the first leg, and that's just because Barcelona had to drive from Spain to Italy because of the whole because of the whole volcano thing, they couldn't fly. Yeah. So then they were tired. So Mourinho said, blitz them first off.
Yeah.
And it's actually, that's the only time he properly said blitz. Other than that, that guy was kind of natural.
Yeah. But that Inter side had some good ballers in it, man.
No. They had Motta, bro. They had Motta. He was such a baller. Yeah. It makes no sense. Yeah,
he was playing today, innit?
Who?
Pandev with his square head. His head shape is so funny, man. Pandev's head shape is so funny. They had Melito as well, isn't it?
Melito and Eto.
Yeah. Melito,
Schneider as well. They showed a clip of Schneider today. This guy is so fat, it is unbelievable.
Like that as soon as he retired. It's just bam, 6 months later, we saw a shot of him in the crowd or something, and he was fat.
Yeah.
We didn't even know it was him. Like, is that actually my man?
Bro, you've got to remember, he came through at Ajax. Ajax is in Amsterdam. I won't say anymore. That's all I'm gonna say, bro. But I think that's enough about that game. Even though it was really good, I mean, towards the end, it became a bit of a slog because I was like, when is this goal gonna come? Because I had no idea that they scored that late.
I had no idea
they scored the 85th minute, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they scored like 70th minute, but. Hey, I must have been pissed that day then to score in the 85th minute and lose to Arsenal.
Yeah.
My head must have been God.
Those are them games that you meant to score the next day.
Now it's like a regular.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it was actually nice to see them boot decision that about taking off attacking players. But let's see what listeners' questions we have. Well, I mean, we have one that's related to the game. And they asked which players from the current United squad would make the starting lineup of this game. And that was from Religion of MUFC. Thank you.
Like, I want to be realistic and say Pogba, but Fergie ignored him.
I thought it was the other way around.
No. So it's who from the current squad would make it into the starting 11.
Okay.
I
would say Pogba, but I doubt Fergie would have gotten rid of him. But I would say Pogba.
I think Pogba would have got in over O'Shea.
I don't know, because he played the Silva brothers, isn't it, over Pogba. So Fergie's.
Yeah, but Fergie's. That was when Pogba was young, and then I think he was having beef with Raiola with him as well. So it was more than that, rather than rape.
Well, yeah, cool. Definitely Pogba.
I think sure, Maguire.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I don't know about Brown.
Over Brown?
No, but Brown at centre back that season, he wasn't. No.
Okay.
I mean, at right back, he was really good the following season.
Yeah.
But he always had.
Brown was a calamity for us until that 2007-08 season.
The thing is, he always kept getting injured, but he was so good. He had so much potential.
Potential.
He just kept on getting injured. And then he had that one season where we fully put together.
Into that team.
Maybe. De Gea would have got in because Van der Sar wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, To be fair, I'm not going to say De Gea because Cusack saved the pen. So, the De Gea is not going to get into
him. Yeah, not currently.
That's so mad that none of our, like, 8 years or 10 years or whatever, none of our midfield can get into that side. And that was a shit.
Absolutely not.
Shit midfield.
I think
we played 4-3-3, Bruno would get in.
The thing is, I was thinking Bruno instead of Saha. And then because during that season there were a lot of times where Giggs was playing up front as a lack of number 10. But I can't lie, would I put Bruno in?
I don't think I would.
I'd like to see him.
I feel like that's a player Fergie would have liked though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think for mentality he would have liked him and his goal scoring
really. He would have played him wide. He definitely would have played him right.
Yeah, he's not playing in the middle. He's gonna play wide.
Definitely would have played a right.
I feel like probably, I feel like Fergie's midfields were never be able to facilitate someone like him. He would definitely would have been wired. His yeah. midfields are really conventional. I don't think Pogba, I mean, Bruno fits into them. He's going to go wide if he plays.
Would Rashford of today get in of that Ronaldo? Remember, this is Ronaldo before yeah. he actually...
Oh, that's a good question.
I think so. Not this season, Rashford. I'm not going to say this season, Rashford, because he's had some stinkers, man. That's all that sticks in my head.
Yeah, I think it's flip a coin, you know. I think they're the same.
I can't lie.
No, I think he does.
If you actually look at it contextually... Yeah.
Rashford's ahead of him at this point.
But then again, Rashford was about... Ronaldo is born in 85. So Ronaldo was 21, about to turn 22. Rashford is about to... is going to turn 24 in four
yeah.
months. So he is actually two years older than Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like if you ask me at the end of that season, Ronaldo clear.
Yeah,
but at the start,
that is the thing at the start, because remember that was the fourth game of the season,
yeah.
and Ronaldo actually started really well. He started really well because that was a team without Rooney and Scholes as well, where we were winning games because of him. So he started really well.
Rashford now probably had more end product than Ronaldo then.
Yeah,
so I would have gone if I had to. If I needed a goal, I would have.
I don't know because what was his return at the end of that season? I think he got like 20 goals.
In that early in that point, though, it was a frustrating. He was a frustrating match, man.
I mean, even in that game, he was a frustrating.
I didn't watch the game, but like early in, I remember half of that season, it was very frustrating watching him, man.
Yeah,
very frustrating. But, just poor decisions after poor decisions. As you expect from a 21-year-old, I guess.
Yeah. So, wait, how many players are getting in? So, Shaw seems a definite.
Yeah. I'm not too sure on Maguire, but...
I think Fergie would have liked Maguire.
Well, he said Phil Jones was going to be the next biggest thing, so...
That makes sense, so...
I don't think that was a bad shout from Fergie, to be honest.
I think it was terrible. He didn't play that much to be able to
get that one. The thing is, he had potential. It's just the problem, the fact that... No. It was just like,
do you know,
no. That
do
was
you know crazy. How many good centre-backs were around that time that he made that shot?
No, he didn't say centre-back. He said United's greatest ever player, bro.
Oh, wait, what?
I thought you said centre-back.
No. Let me confirm this, because I know he said great.
Do you know what the problem with Jones was? Yeah, he was good enough on the ball to play DM. I feel like that ruined him, man.
What?
I feel like if he played centre back consistently, I feel like his trajectory would have just continued. I feel like playing
I don't think he was good enough. I just think he just had patches where. Inevitably, in a United team that always dominates, you're going to look good. I don't think he was good. Seeing him on corners and free kicks, I just feel like when he was on corners, it just made me hate him. The way he was utilized just made me hate him more than I should have. Honestly,
let me say the quote: Jones, arguably the way he's looking, could be our best ever player. I think Jones may be one of the best players we have ever had, no matter where we play him. At 21 years of age, he's going to be a phenomenal player. I think he can play anywhere on the pitch. He has such a massive
impact
with his instinct and reading of the game. He has a drive about him.
Do you know what, though? I'm going to say this. Fergie did ID some horrible talents. I don't know if it was him or people above him. He did ID some horrible talents. So I don't really... He had some good ones, but he had a lot of misses. I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it's him who said he wants those players, like Bebe and all them, man. I don't know if it was him, but he had a lot of misses. So I don't really trust his talent ID as such.
But so the thing is, Jones, in terms of attributes... Like, you couldn't want more from a centre-back. People just thought he was going to grow up. He was going to get rid of the mistakes, get rid of the injuries. And then we saw it at the back end of, like, 2015, where Smalling and him built up that good, good partnership.
Was that Smalling? Was that when he got his nickname Maldini or something? Smalling.
Smalldini. But yeah, that makes that is a term. Yeah. That shout
out. Shout out to Smalling, though. Shout out to Smalling. He gave me some real good moments, man. That was a mad period for him. I'm just remembering that he had some really good games.
Yeah, he did.
Really good games. I thought this guy, he's turned the corner. I never heard him speak in that period because I wouldn't have backed him had I heard him speak. But he had some really, really solid games, man. Shout out to Smalling for those 2 months or whatever he gave us.
It was actually from the start of 2015 to the end of 2015. He was pretty good.
I thought it was like a 2-3.
I feel like he gave us more.
I don't think it was longer than
that. In terms of that period, it was a year.
What are you talking? Is that Mike Smalling?
Yeah.
No, that's Smalldini. That's Smalldini we're talking about.
But
I remember that name.
And then he probably had another decent spell in like 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
But apart from that guy was gash.
I'm trying to remember. There was a City game. I don't know. I don't know whether he was good or bad in that game. But there was
the City game. Which one? Where he got sent off or where he should have been sent off?
Yeah, the one we got sent off. He was so bad in that game, man.
Fam, that guy, his first yellow was stopping a quick free kick, and then the second one was him flying out.
Yeah. And I think that was the end of one of his peak periods after that, man. It was
that was before the start of the good period. So that was November 2014.
Oh, okay.
So that was November 2014.
When was Maldini?
Yeah, it was 2015. The whole year 2015, he was really good. He was actually really good.
Yeah,
like he had Jones next to him, Jones and Blind next to him. He was really good.
My guy.
I don't want to speak about.
I used to rate that guy so highly, man. He's the kind of guy that we needed, and Mourinho. Is it Mourinho or something?
Yeah. Oh. Do you know what's mad? He just would have been useful. Like even now,
progressed the ball. He would have been useful.
I just would have stuck him in DM, maybe. Having with Fred for a bit, that would have been fine.
You know what? Playing Fred somewhere else in the midfield is okay, in my opinion. Just play him DM. I think if you play him somewhere else where he has more of a freedom to go and get dribbled past or win the ball, or whatever.
It's okay.
It's not great, but it's okay. It's when you play. I don't think he's not a DM. In fairness to him, he's been pegged into a position that is not really his, and then we're judging him on that. But even so, his attributes aren't great anyway. So,
I mean, I really don't care. He's just not good.
I don't mind him as an option in the squad. To be honest,
the thing is, I can't. 52 million, bro. Like, it was just such a waste of money.
Yeah, and he was pretty unknown. I hadn't watched him at Shakhtar Donetsk at all. I saw a few Champions League games, and like when I watched highlights of him, he was scoring bangers, he was rassing shots from here, there, he was getting into the box. I thought, okay, maybe. And then they come and he played DM and whatever, and it's all been downhill from there,
bro. Like, it's mad because I even remember when Shakhtar got Fred, because it was after the Confederations Cup. I think he was in the squad, and I was seeing this guy, and then we even faced Shakhtar that season, and I think he played. I'm thinking this guy is just a fugazi. Like he's not real. He's just running around doing nothing. and then I hear 3 years later that Man City are after him. I was saying, what the hell happened? Because he was never
City
good.
City done something to us there, man. I think they've done it a couple of times as well.
Yeah.
I'm convinced they show fake interest, maybe they're not assigned the player, and then they go and sign an actual good DM.
I think with Fred, it was just a thing. If we get him a coach, he has enough energy where he can cover for our midfield. So if we actually tell him what to do, coach him properly.
What midfielder is that Pep has that is sort of like him? I don't.
Yeah.
There isn't. But I can't see any in this side that Pep has.
That might be why he wanted him.
exactly. I mean, I think he must have been trying to mold him into like a small Fernandinho, because when Fernandinho is not there, he has to change up the whole midfield and the whole system, because the job Fernandinho does is so mad. And Fred, to his credit, he can get about the pitch. He wins his tackles. Yeah. He wins his interceptions. So if you give him a coach that actually tells him how to think about football,
I think
it would have been fun. And on the ball, he's crazy, but yet he tries things.
Yeah, so definitely. Like, I feel like, yeah, if a better coach, when he tries those things, they come off, innit? Because it's more with Pep, it's less instinctive, it's more robotic. So you have less of a, you less to think, okay, I'm going to do this. You know where someone is going to be and you're going to do that. That's what Pep's told you to do. Pep's obviously playing under that level of detail is always going to make a player look better, right?
Of course. But, I mean, I have no idea how we got to Fred from
that squad. We've had some poor decisions, man.
Bro. I mean,
that position there where we've tried, and like we didn't even sign, he's not even a DM and stuff like that before. We've just been hoping. We've had Fellaini, Schneiderlin, and Fred, like so many bad choices. I don't think Matic. Fellaini was that awful, Matic. But I think he had a few games when he first came in, and then it was all downhill from there. Same with Matic, really.
But like, it's actually mad, because if you look at all those profile of players, if you look at it, they're all like, even okay, I think out of all of them, the most DM out of them is Matic. But even he wasn't like he got turned into DM like
when it was like he was like, a lot more up and down. He was a lot more up and down.
Like, so like, damn, in the Chelsea reserves, he used to be a number 10, bro. Like, and then he went to Benfica, got changed into DM, and comes back, and he looks like a monster, but he only does for half a season. Fellaini, we try to make a DM when he's just basically another option. He's not a DM. Schneiderlin was more box-to-box, and also he's coming from a smaller team who has more space in front of to play the ball, which is what we say about Rice, but by the way. Remember that. Yeah. And then
you just
Fred,
had to get that in, innit?
I had to. And then Fred, same thing. These are not DMs. I mean, keep trying to force it rather than get.
I don't understand where their scouting reports must get this guy. It's not a defensive midfielder, but get him. That's what I must say.
That should be a criteria in itself. Is this guy a DM?
Because it's several managers now. It's several managers that have made the same error. And it's not really Mourinho, because Matic was more of a DM when Mourinho. Or when he brought him in, was it Mourinho? Yeah,
yeah.
He's more of a DM than any other DM we've signed. Quotations. Yeah. So not really Matic, but the rest of them have signed players where it doesn't really make sense. Schneiderlin really didn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. So gosh, I can't believe we signed a man to go on tour ATP and paid him like 300k or something.
We have not, man. That
position, fleeced us. The man was earning 300k to go and watch his missus play on the tour. That was crazy. His worst ever game was what? I think his worst ever game was when, and it wasn't really his fault, but when we played Arsenal and Kofor Santi.
No, but the thing is that, fam, why not just play Schneiderlin that game? The thing is, the next game he plays Carrick and Schneiderlin. We win 3-0, and we play more counter attacking. Yeah. I mean, because that game he has us pressing all over the pitch.
I think he went man for man that game, did he not?
Yeah. I hate that man. Crazy. But anyway,
that's crazy.
I can't believe we got out of that. But we started about the Arsenal game. We're gonna end on another Arsenal game. I'd love to thank you for joining me, Stevie and Rodney. Always a pleasure. Good. Guys, make sure to use the hashtag when you're talking about it. Not doing that enough. Make sure to check out the YouTube, the Discord, and make sure to get on FanSlide as well. Remember, £10,000 grand prize. And if your friend wins for the game, I believe you get half of the money that they earn. So
doubled it.
Oh, they even doubled it. Even better. Yeah. So make sure you get as many people involved as possible, because that could mean you earning more money. So, Stevie, send that link to Rodney.
You'll earn people. All right. Definitely.
We out. Peace. Boys,
safe.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores. Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh, yes!
Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial!
I'll be for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that's your dance done. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Sports Social Podcast Network.